Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. A couple announcements. Sunday school and adult Bible study will start again next Sunday at 10 o'clock, and our worship service at 11. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests?
Shane is coming home probably on hospice.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Shane Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, coming home on hospice.
So they really need our prayers. Cal Hillman's son-in-law. Cal Hillman.
Okay.
Ryan will read the psalm this morning, and Dad will open in prayer, and Neil will bring us the message.
Thank you.
Bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the year that has just passed. We thank you for being there to support us, to guide us, to comfort us, to care for us, to lead us in a path of righteousness, to lead us in paths that we know not what to do, but look to you for the direction that we should take. We look to the future as we come to a new year and pray that thou would still be with us, that thou would guide us, thou would watch over us, thou would comfort us in sorrow and strife and tears. Thou would lift us up, give us the wisdom that we need to handle whatever comes across our path this year. Give us the guidance that we need to look to you for the solutions that will come. We pray for our governments through this next year, that you would watch over them, that you would guide them in a direction that they should go, Lord, and that you would watch over us and protect us from all the evils that come as they may. For it is seeming that as the years pass by, it seems that time does grow shorter. We know not when we will come to stand before you, but Lord, we know that you are there to guide us along this path that we do not know where it leads. But when you're there, we are thankful, and you are there all of the time. So we continually need to be thankful. We pray for our pastors. We pray for Steve, and we pray for Tom. We pray for Neil, and we pray for Jordan, those that have answered the call to speak to us, bring the word. And we especially pray for Neil as he comes to speak to us, that you would give him the wisdom, the guidance, and give us the love that we need for everyone. Lord, we thank you for all of these things, and we pray that prayer that thou hast given us to pray, and that's Jesus, and our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'd add a P.S. to that. Be with Ryan, or be with Cal and Linda and their families as they go through this time of trouble and this time of sickness. May you lay your healing hand upon Shane, and that he would be able to recover. Grant them a miracle, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. The psalm reading for today is Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore.
Good morning. Welcome. I was reading Psalm 121 this past week, and I won't. I know my audience a little bit. I'm not going to ask you. I'm quite curious though. If I was to ask for a show of hands, which I know would make everything awkward, so we won't do that. But on what people's interpretation of that first couple verses is. It says, I'll lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And I was reading in the notes in this study Bible that should be maybe read as a question. It says it should probably be retranslated as a question, which is quite permissive. The psalmist is not looking at the hills as a source of help, but as a source of threat or harm, which is interesting because that's not ever how I've seen that verse. I looked at that, and quite often, I mean, the hills to me is a source of comfort. And I think to myself, if God can create the hills and the mountains, surely he can take care of me and look after me. And in this here, it's looking at it, these notes are basically looking at it as the hills are there and you're on a journey, and is what it's saying in here, that you don't know what the hills are hiding, and you don't know what to expect. But where does my help come from? And it comes from the Lord, which is, there's no question in that. It would just be interesting. Maybe there's more than a couple ways to look at that, but that's always how I've looked at it. And the hills, like I say, have always been a comfort to me, whether we're snowmobiling or heading to the mountains for a weekend or quadding or whatever. Whenever I look out on the hills, it's a comfort to see God's creation and the work that he's done. And I quite often think to myself, if we were to get down on our knees somewhere out there in the middle of the bush by Nordegg, maybe, if you're just to get down on your knees and zero in on a couple square inches of that ground and all that's going on in that ground, a little seedling of a spruce popping up and ants busying their lives here and there and everywhere and beetles and whatever is going on, there's a whole life in that 2 square inches in the vastness of this world. If you think about our Creator creating that down to the square inch and smaller, it's pretty amazing to think about what he's created. And surely, if he's got the wherewithal to do that, he can look after me. So it's just something interesting, a side note that I was thinking about this week, and maybe you guys have never thought about it one way or the other, but there you have it. Today we're going to be talking a little bit. I got a text up there, and it's a little bit like the last time I was here. I gave you a text. Some of you like to have something to reference to. But it is more than that. It's a bit of a topic, and the topic being, as it says, past versus present. I wanted to say, don't let our past dictate our future. Which might be still true. There is a lot of good things that happen in our past, so maybe it would be better to say, don't let the negative in our past create a negative future. So Genesis 50:20 there, that's going to be an anchor point, and we will get to that. It's just not right this second. We're at the time of year here where a lot of people like to make resolutions and goals, and with the new year, getting ready for the next year and what their next year might look for. It's very common. Everybody's heard it, and maybe we've all taken part of it in one form or another. And I'd put us in remembrance when we're making goals for the new coming year. What does that look like for Christians? How do we make goals while keeping Christ in mind? So if you were to jump into James 4, excuse me, in James 4, 13 to 17, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. For what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we can make goals. Goals aren't always bad. God's given us a brain. We're able to use it. But let's make goals always in prayer, that it's according with God's will. Verse 16 and 17 says, you know, that you're rejoicing in your arrogance, basically. But that rejoicing is not, it says it's evil here. And so if we leave out God's will and our future plans, which it's talking about in the beginning of this, it's not correct. It's not the way we're to go about it. So always keeping in mind with these goals, Lord, what is your will? What would you have me do? And recognizing that it's tough to do sometimes, because if you're anything like me, it's just easy to naturally take control of your situation. Sometimes goals fits into that, and I, contrary to that, I quite often in some of the jobs I've been in, that they ask you at the beginning of the year, what are your goals this year? What are your 5-year goals? What is your whatever it is, 10-year, 15-year goals? And I always say, I don't know. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't know what the Lord has in store for me. I can assure you, I never planned on standing up here in the last couple times, that's for sure. So I can have lots of goals, but sometimes we just need to make way for God. And so there's blessing in allowing for God's sovereignty in our will in our life. So we have to recognize God is sovereign, and our will doesn't always line up with that. And prayerfully, we would recognize when it doesn't, and we would ask for that. In Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And I think we have to recognize in all these goals and everything that we plan on doing and worries and what's the future holds. Remembering that, be still. In other words, don't be striving. Don't be racing around trying to figure out everything in every detail. Know that I am God. Allow for the sovereignty of God. That sovereignty isn't always welcome sometimes, because it looks different than what we have in our mindset as to how life should go. You know, don't bury yourself in the unknowns either. There's lots of unknowns uncertainties when you start looking at, especially things that are out of our control, whether, you know, government's a big one. Terry mentioned it this morning, and we just don't know what God has for us. When I talk about blessing, and this is a little bit of a natural story, I had goals, and sometimes they're different. And my goal was to sell. I had a skid steer bucket here 3 years ago. Like I said, it's very natural, but I had a skid steer bucket here about 3 years ago that I had every intention of selling. It was an extra one. I didn't use it. There was no need for it. And because I'm picky, I for a while there, I would trade off my buckets after every 1,000 hours, because I wanted a really fine cutting edge at all times, and I did a lot of fine grading. And anyways, I had listed this thing for sale, and I didn't have a lot of bites, but I had this one guy that kept pestering me for this thing, but he wanted to offer me way less than it was worth. And I didn't need the cash, so I just kept telling him, no, it's whatever. I mean, it got to the point where I just had to take it off the listing, because I was just tired of this guy pestering me, and he didn't want to pay for it. He just, you know, wanted it for free. Anyways, it sat in the yard for the last couple of years, and then I had thoughts, well, maybe I should resell that again. I can put that money into one of my projects or what have you, and just never got around to it, because I just don't like dealing with Kijiji or marketplace people. So anyways, that being said, this last fall, got a different skid steer, and apparently they don't make an 84-inch bucket anymore. Bobcat doesn't. And I really needed that 84-inch bucket, because I needed one bucket that fits inside the other, so when I do jobs, I can go distances and not have to make separate trips. And typically I would have a wider, smooth bucket than a tooth bucket, and I put them inside. Well, anyways, thankfully, as I didn't realize this, that I didn't sell it, and I had an 84-inch bucket that I could swap the teeth off and put a smooth edge on, and I just have a wider tooth than a smooth now, and it works really well. So as natural as that is, sometimes, you know, God does care about the details sometimes, and we have our plans, and that, like I say, this is very natural, But he does care about these things sometimes, and we should be thankful. I thank him that I did not sell that, because I cannot get that bucket anymore, and I do lots of pathway work that's a couple kilometers long. I have to make separate trips, and that's annoying. So I something simple, but I thank him for it. And like I say, there's blessing and allowing for God's sovereignty, and it's a simple story, and maybe it's a bad example, but. Last time I was here, standing in this place, I said that I wished I was speaking on something a little bit more uplifting, and so I pray today that this will be just that, on recognizing how to move forward with the future of a year. And I mentioned that past versus present, we can easily, a lot of us, today have trauma. We have hurts. We've had evil things happen to us. The list goes on for things that can really hold us back. And they may have happened to the past, maybe things we've said, things we've done. Like I say, outside influences that have happened to us that we had no control over. We have all kinds of regrets. But don't let the negative past determine your future and steal your joy in Christ. So we're going to dive into just a little bit with regards to that topic, and recognizing that with the help of our Lord and Savior, we can move forward. Depending on what those things are, we can move forward again and maybe even find joy again, joy in the Lord. And sometimes that's tough. I've recognized it in my own life where that joy seems to be stolen, and I've lamented to my wife, like, I don't know where my joy is. I feel like the weights of the outside pressures are just pushing in all the time, and I can get so focused on all the things that I can't find the joy. It's not a fun place to be, especially when you recognize it. So we're not stuck. We don't want to be stuck in where we were, the things that happened to us. I have a goal this year, and this is a fresh memory, and as I've said before, we all go through different things when we're talking about suffering, and everybody has their circumstances in life, the story that God leads you through. And for me, one of the major things, obviously, was Gavin being sick and the passing of our son. So an example I have of this, not being stuck. A goal for me this year. The year that Gavin passed, Gavin loved Thanksgiving. I don't even know why specifically, but he could not wait for Thanksgiving. And of course, as you know, that was during the time when he was on his way out. And I couldn't celebrate Thanksgiving. He couldn't take part of it. He was in his bed, and Thanksgiving was not happening for Gavin. And I couldn't do it. And since then, Thanksgiving's not the same to me. Oh, I'm thankful. But taking part in Thanksgiving has been, I can't. I cannot have a Thanksgiving dinner. So my goal is this year, because I recognize at some point in the last few months that negativity is getting me stuck in a rut, and I'm willing to sit on that. Part of fear of missing him, part of fear of forgetting him. Whatever it might be in your case will be different maybe than my case, but my goal is to celebrate Thanksgiving this coming year. Because I know that Gavin actually loved it, and he would want nothing more than for me to have a Thanksgiving dinner. But whether it's my selfishness, my hurt, my grief, whatever it might be, these last 3 years just can't happen. The same thing with hunting. I haven't hunted since Gav got sick. I just can't get the motivation. But I know he'd want me to. And so my goal this year is to take my own advice as we stand here today and talk about it, and let God do something, and focus on what he's doing, and focus where he's leading, and maybe we can get back to that joy again. in Romans 8, 8:28. You guys have all heard this verse. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we need to focus on these things. It's easy to get stuck in last year, or the year before, or 5 years from before, or maybe 20 years before, when whatever the circumstance will be. And I don't want to minimize things that have happened to us and say, yeah, Neil, but you just don't understand what I went through. You're right, I don't. You also don't understand what I've been through, thankfully. I want us to be encouraged that God is there, and he can use these negative experiences, whatever those hurts, traumas, there's just a lot of list of things that can hold us back, that can stop us from recognizing what God is doing in our life. A great example of this, God using this, of this Romans 8, when he talks about making things all work together, if we were to jump back into Genesis 37, it's the story of Joseph. It's a great example of terrible things happening to somebody, and yet God being there, using it for good. And it talks about, I'm going to grab 18 and 20 here. And when they saw him afar off, and this is Genesis 37, and even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And in verse 28, it's talking about, and then they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. You want to talk about trauma? I don't know, but if my family sold me to a bunch of gypsies on the side of the road at 17 years old, and I got taken off into some strange country, I don't know what's better, being mocked. Well, you know, he's hated by his brothers. He's obviously being mocked all the time. He's bullied and what have you. But then to be sold to strangers, sent to a strange land at 17 years old, you don't necessarily know the family, the rules of the family, the expectations, the ins and the outs, and you're alone. You're literally alone. That'd be traumatic for any 17-year-old. And I think that if we're to think about how did Joseph move on from that, he didn't get stuck or hold on to that day. He could have piled up on the couch, so to speak, and held on to that moment and made that an excuse for everything he did or didn't do from there on out. He didn't do that. Genesis 40 explains a little bit in 21 there. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And that was when he was cast into prison there. But that's the reason. The Lord was with him. And if we profess to have the Lord with us today, are we allowing him to do the work? Are we holding on to what we know, what we want, in a little bit of a selfish way? Genesis 50. His brothers come back at the end. So we were talking about in Romans that God can use the good or the evil for good and make all things work to good. Well, here's the other part of that. So his brothers are coming to him after they've sold him. And this is years later or whatever. We pray thee, forgive us the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept, and they spoke unto him. His brother also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, I am, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto God to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. It's a prime example right here. His brothers, Satan was using his brothers. They hated him. And Joseph could have easily, like I said, figuratively speaking, piled up on the couch, held on to that. And every time something, how do I put it? You have the opportunity to move forward, you don't. And we know it's easy to do that. It's almost a comfort zone to sit in your pity, to sit in the traumas or whatever. But instead, what did we say? It says God was with him. And so Joseph didn't do that. He moved forward. And to the point where God was able to use him in the end. And we know all that story. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that story. I just wanted to point that out, that it's an example of God being able to do with Joseph with what he willed. And let that blessing I was talking about, there's blessing in allowing for his sovereignty. And yes, that's not an ideal situation to get shipped off, bought, or sold and bought and whatever. But Joseph survived with the strength of our Lord. Satan is creating mayhem and destruction all the time. And God can use that evil for good. So let us open our eyes to see it. I find there's a lot of times I hear people, they say, yeah, but you don't know this and you don't know that. I say, yeah, but Jesus, especially for believers. Are you not allowing God's will? Are you stifling what God can do? I always say, tune into the right channel. It's like listening to the radio. I said, I think they might have even said this last time, but we can listen to all kinds of stations on the radio, but if you're not listening to the right station, you can't hear what it is that you need to hear. And that's figuratively speaking, obviously. I'm not promoting any stations, obviously. But just thinking about it from the perspective that what I might need to hear is happening right now, right here on this channel, but I'm too busy listening to everything else. I need to be tuned into the channel that is God. Make sure we are paying attention and allowing for God to do things that he can. We need to think our situation, our struggle, our trauma, but Jesus. What is Jesus doing? What has he done for us? What will he do for us? What can he do for us? And trust in that. Let's see what he can do with it. So I've said before in Sunday school, people have heard me say it, and I'm going to say it again, and so hopefully you guys don't get sick of this, but we're moving from the question of why. My wife had to remind me of this week. She said, you always say this, but you're not taking your own advice. Move on from why. Why, Lord? Why are you doing this? Why is this in my life? Why? How about what? What are you doing, Lord? What are you going to do with it? What am I to learn from this? It changes the whole perspective from me to him. Recognize that God can and will and has the ability to do things in our life that we can't see. Let's not get stuck and hung up and say, yeah, but Lord, you can't because of this. Yeah, but Lord, I went through this, so you can't do this. Yes, he can. Sometimes it's a conscious choice. And this is what I'm talking about. Sometimes we have to sometimes sit ourselves down and have a little bit of a introspective talk with ourselves. What is going to define this new year coming? Are we going to sit and focus on what Satan has done and his evil? Are we going to read the headlines? So I call it, it's basically a hit list for Satan and all the things he's doing. You're listening to the news these days. Or are we going to focus on Christ and what he is doing or done? Or what he can do with our situation? Allow him to use the hurts, the pains, to not only benefit, maybe not even us, but others. The hurts that I have gone through, the pain that I have gone through, the trauma, the whatever it might be, let God use that for others. Maybe they don't have to go through these things. I say this in Sunday school. I love when people give us examples. Because when people give examples, I get to glean wisdom from that. I don't have to go through it myself in order to understand or get wisdom from these things. So it's one of those things where we need to allow him to do that. So we pray that God can move us from a life of despair and paralyzation to joy in him. Are we going to be paralyzed on our couch for the rest of our life? Am I going to be paralyzed into not having Thanksgiving? And I'm not saying we can't sit on some of these things. But is it edifying to our life? Is it edifying to those around us? Is it helping those around us for me to sit in despair at my house? It doesn't mean that I have to ignore the hurts. I don't want to forget Gavin, not in the least. And sometimes I selfishly would like to just sit there and think about it. But the reality is I can't live in that. So am I paralyzed in despair or whatever it might be that I cannot move forward and I'm not allowing for God to do what he has for me? I can use that same situation. I had no desire to be standing here today or to teach or lead Sunday school in the mornings. I could easily just say to you that it's not my goal and I have a lot of struggles and hang-ups have a lot of stuff to work through. But God has moved me past that, thankfully, and I hope that he is able to use me, and that's not an easy thing to say because it can come with a lot of uncomfortable things that I'm not willing to or want to be put here. Speaking of being here. But trust that God is using that and allow him to work in your life. Don't be paralyzed. Truly believe that God has the power by his sovereign will. God does have that power. He is able to turn that evil into good, and we can easily, like I said, I've heard this so many times. Yeah, but this, you don't understand this, and yes, I don't. None of us will understand all these things. But God does. God can use those things, and does. Daily, and experiences are great, and people are willing to talk about it. It's amazing. I was part of a men's group at one point, and it was focused on marriages, and there was maybe six of us there. And they were all talking about the negativity in their marriage and this and that and this problem and that problem, and I mean, it was depressing. And I felt guilty because my marriage has been so fantastic. And I didn't know how to say it, but I finally got to the point after a few weeks that I said, I recognize that you guys have troubles, but just so you know, it doesn't have to be that way. We need to speak of the positive too and understand. And so it is great to hear experiences from others to encourage your fellow brothers and sisters that we can move and God can use us in those examples. So for instance, when I was speaking of that, I prayed, and I actually heard from one of the guys later. It doesn't matter what he said, but the fact of the matter is that God can use us in our situation and those spots and help those that are struggling so that they don't have to go through things. And in these cases, obviously, we're all going through marriage in that one, but don't be afraid to witness to those around us those positive things that are happening. And so that people can see that God does move and can move. Just because we're not seeing it at the moment doesn't mean he isn't and he won't. Psalm 51, 10 to 12. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, or, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. We need to pray about this. Lord, restore me that clean spirit, clean heart and a right spirit, because I can sit there and focus on what Satan has done, and because of sin in our life, a lot of things have been allowed into this world, and we can sit and focus on that and be paralyzed, like I said, but that's not where God wants us. Allow him to do what he can, even though we've gone through these things. Have a goal. This should be a goal right here. If you want a goal for this year, create me a clean heart, renew a right spirit, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I mean, what a light verse that is. You should feel pretty light on your feet reading that. Matthew 6, it talks about not being anxious. Anxious with the coming year. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we need to recognize, this is once again recognizing the power of the sovereignty of God, that no matter what we've been through, he can work this for good. He can use this, and we just might not see it. So carry on. You're not always going to see what God is up to, but trust that he can use these things for good. It's easy for us to get anxious, especially like I don't spend a lot of time in the political end of things because it makes me anxious. I can easily get down all kinds of rabbit trails, and I just got to shut it off. I can't worry about that stuff. I have to leave that to God. So don't be anxious with regards to your goals. If you don't have a goal, leave it. Let your goal be, Lord, thy will be done. Amen. That's a great goal. So how do we move forward? And those of you that are part of the Sunday morning adult Bible study, you probably have a pretty good idea of where I'm going to go with this. We spent a great deal of time on this book in the last year, and it has to do with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Galatians 5 says to walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. They are contrary to one another. So if that's the case, what is our cup filled with? Is our cup filled with the negativities, the hang-ups, the hurts, the traumas of before? Or is it filled up with what God may do, can do, and has done? Because if you fill your cup up with that, there isn't any room left for the other. I'm speaking figuratively. Like I say, I don't want to minimize the hurts and whatever. I don't want people to minimize mine either. But be real with yourself. What's your cup full with? What's your focus? It's like oil and water. The two can't help each other. They can't be in the same place. The oil is totally separate of water. You put those two in a cup and see what happens. So recognize what you're filling your cup with. We need to be consciously taking our thoughts captive. The ones that don't edify our soul or others. What are we focusing on? It's really easy to focus on the negative. They always say bad news travels fast. Yep, in our own hearts too. We can easily sit in our despair. Tune into the right channel that exudes Christ. If our heart is there, so will our mouth. And not only will it help us in focusing on what our cup should be filled with, it should help others. It wears off, it rubs off on others. You get negativity and focus on those things, it's easy to get into that rut. So think about what we're saying and doing, that it promotes the focus to change going forward in the year. That we focus on what God is doing. In closing, and I said this last time, I'll say it again. Instead of focusing on the power and destruction and carnage that Satan leaves in his wake, let's focus on the sovereign power of our Lord and fill our minds to the brim with this. You say, well, what's this? This is Philippians 4. And throughout those years, well, the couple, year and a half or whatever, that Gav was sick and we were in a lot of trauma, and the couple years after, and as we go move forward, this has always been a focal point for us. I read it last time. I read it in the stuff, and I have to just pound this one last time, if that's all it is. Because it fits in this situation also. We're talking about, what are we filling our cup with? Well, let's fill it with this. 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You want to start a day off with a prayer? Pray this. Lord, let me focus on whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, and go through this list. And if we're focusing in the day on a bunch of other things or other crutches, on other hurts, other whatever it might be, keep this passage in mind. If we're focusing on these things, as it says in Galatians, our cup doesn't have room for all the other stuff. Let that joy come forth. This is how you have joy. You focus on these things. If it means having to cut out the news or social media or whatever it might be, it doesn't say here, whatsoever things are on Facebook, whatever, so, no, it doesn't say that. It gives you a pretty good list here. You pray that in the morning. I'm not putting it heavy as what you have to pray, obviously. I'm just figuratively speaking, if we could spend every morning praying that this is the stuff we think on, what would our life look like? How would that change our whole demeanor for the day? So if nothing else, let's pray that God would keep us in remembrance of these verses throughout the course of this next year within our goals. We may start making goals and thinking about the direction of where our life is going to go or where it's not going to go because of what our past is. Let's make this our goal. Let's pray this every day. Amen. I'm going to close with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We close with 671.
Thank you. story.